Here's a road trip suggestion, visiting unique restaurants of Indiana compiled by a noted food blogger. I'm David James, and next on 2 Main Street, my conversation with Carrie Steinwick, author of Unique Eats and Eateries in Indiana. We'll find out where to enjoy Aunt Bee's fried chicken at a Mayberry-themed cafe. Also, where to sample authentic Italian cuisine prepared by a native of Sicily. And gaze at the Ohio River from a hilltop restaurant close to home. The author has mapped out this culinary journey from north to south with stops in large cities and small towns, iconic locations, and diners off the beaten path. It's a mouth-watering trip across the state, next on 2 Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger, Kim Wren, and the Berger Wealth Team at Bayard Private Wealth Management. From the WNIN Tri-State Public Media Center in downtown Evansville, I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. Well, here's a question for all you foodies out there. What's your favorite restaurant, and what keeps you going back for more? Now, I'm not talking about the national chains, but the local eateries with generations of loyal customers, the places you recommend to friends, and where you take visiting relatives. Restaurants with specialties you can't find anyplace else. Meals that become heaven on a plate. Now imagine going on a quest to taste the delights of an entire state, visiting big cities and small towns, hungry for adventure. My guest is co-founder of Chicago Foodie Sisters, a freelance writer, blogger, social media manager, and author of the new book, Unique Eats and Eateries of Indiana, The People and Stories Behind the Food. Carrie Steinwick, welcome to 2 Main Street.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hey, listen, I got a question for you. How do you define a foodie?
In my mind, a foodie is just somebody who has a great love for foods of all kind and trying new things and learning about what you're eating and where it came from.
So what's the strangest food you've ever tasted?
Oh, gosh. Strangest food I've ever tasted?
Yes.
I don't know. I tried alligator.
Okay.
Which, wasn't too fun. Most of the unusual things I haven't got or really strange things I probably haven't gone back to because I didn't enjoy them a whole lot. But, yeah, I don't know. Alligator, I guess, is the one that comes to mind, probably one of the strangest.
Well, if you fry it, I guess you can eat it, right?
Yeah, I guess so. You deep fry anything, can't you?
Now, what I found very interesting in the book is not just the meals on the plate you talk about, but the cooks in the kitchen. Damiano Perillo, serving up specialties from his hometown in Sicily, Palermo. Tell me about some of the dishes there at that restaurant.
Yes, North Salem. Really small town that we just kind of did as a little side trip on one of our visits to Hendricks County. And it's a native of Italy who runs the restaurant, and everything is authentic, made from scratch, made daily. So those are the kinds of places I love, just these little hidden gems that, you know, not everybody knows about and don't immediately jump out to you. And you kind of might have to go a little out of the way to seek them out. But this is one that was definitely on my list of places worth going off the beaten path for. Really good food. They also have a lot of vegetarian, gluten-free, just options for people with dietary restrictions or dietary needs. So that's some of the things that made that one stand out to me.
Now, I noticed some of the things on the menu. Chicken Alfredo pizza, that sounds good. Homemade meatballs and marinara sauce, yum.
Yeah, they had wonderful meatballs. They're all made from scratch there.
Now, some of the restaurants featured in the book have been serving folks for more than a century, and you mentioned the St. James Restaurant. Tell me about the St. James Restaurant.
The St. James Restaurant. Okay. Let me pull that up in my book here. That was one that I visited a few months ago. Again, a suggestion from somebody from one of the visitors bureaus there. And it's one of the oldest restaurants in the state. And so that's another thing that I love is historic places, restaurants that where it's not all just about the food, but it's the stories behind the people, the stories behind the businesses, sometimes even the stories behind the structure that they're situated in. Mm-hmm. So the St. James restaurant, it's one of the oldest in the state, and it's Northern Indiana's oldest restaurant. It's located in a former hotel, and it's got a variety of different American dishes. There's a German flair to some of the cuisine, and beautiful interior with a lot of stained glass. Their specialty there is their broasted chicken. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a chicken fan, that's definitely something you want to try out. They have the Indiana Foodways, has a number of food trails throughout the state. And St. James Restaurant is one that's on their winner chicken dinner culinary trail.
Now, what city is that in, our town?
That is in Avila, which is in the northeast corner of the state.
Okay. Now, you also go to Southern Indiana. That's mm-hmm. near us. And you take us to the Overlook Restaurant in the small community of Leavenworth in Crawford County. And there's a killer view of the Ohio River from there.
Mm-hmm. So everything that's included in this book, there's something unique about it. So for some, it might be a unique dish on the menu that everybody goes there for. Sometimes it's a unique backstory with the owners and how the restaurant came to be. And for a couple of them in here, that real unique thing is the view. And so the Overlook, that's one of the highlights there. Their dining room is all windows on one side, so you get great views of the river along with your meal. So good down home cooking, lots of good comfort food on the menu, and mm-hmm. Just no better way to enjoy it than sitting there looking out the windows at the beautiful scenery, or even on the some of the outdoor seating as well.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite restaurants. My daughter lives in Louisville, and mm-hmm. it's a halfway point between Evansville and Louisville, so we meet there for lunch at the Overlook Restaurant. They have a great fried cod platter there and mom's meatloaf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we go to the French Lick Resort. That's in neighboring Orange County. And you feature mm-hmm. the 1875 Steakhouse.
Yes. So that's one of my favorite areas in the state is West Baden and French Lick. Love the history of the area. I'm a huge Cubs fan. I grew up in the south suburbs. And so I'm a huge Cubs fan. And so the first time I went there, I learned about how the Cubs had done spring training mm-hmm. during the war at French Lick. And then also in 1908, during the year that they won the World Series, they had trained at West Baden. So all that history was fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a place that I've revisited a few times and just love the area. And then, of course, some great dining spots in that area, too. And one of them is 1875, the Steakhouse, which is in the French Lick Resort. So this is a place for a, you know, nice special occasion meal. It's a high-end steakhouse. Everything is very high quality, made with care. We tried some steaks, some appetizers, but one really cool, unique feature there as well is that you get a little appetizer of tomato juice.
Oh,
and was actually invented there. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that they bring out as a little appetizer before your meals, a little shot of their tomato juice, which was first served there at the hotel.
Right. My guest is Carrie Steinwig. She's author of Unique Eats and Eateries of Indiana, the people and stories behind the food. Now, you list about 80 restaurants in your book, and I'm sure there were some that didn't make the cut. Do you hear about those at your book signings?
Yeah, a little bit. Some people ask about places that didn't make it in. I actually started out with a list of over 200.
Okay.
And then just kind of had to, cross some off the list and make my way down to 83, because that's all that would fit in the book.
Okay. When you go to these restaurants, of course, you can't sample all the dishes. How do you decide on which entree to choose or dessert?
Well, sometimes I'll go for the signature items if I'm just ordering myself off the menu and trying a new place. I want to try the signature items, what they're known for and what their specialties are. So, sometimes that's what I would do. Other times I would go there and I'd be in touch with them in advance and they knew I was coming. So I'd say, ask them what they wanted to highlight, what they thought were the best, representation of what they serve there. And sometimes there were times I didn't try everything on the menu, but I did make a effort at trying as many as I could. Sometimes I tried several different entrees, at some of the places I went to, but,
did you dine alone?
Oh, did I dine alone? Yeah. For most of these, I spent about a year traveling around before the book came out, hitting different spots. And most of those travels I did with my husband. He's recently retired, so he was able to travel with me. So, yeah, for a lot of these, it was traveling with my husband. So that's always nice when you have somebody along, because they can order something different from you, and then you get to try a couple things. I'm a big sampler. I always like going to places where they have flights. Not just breweries where they have flights, but I've been to a lot of places where they'll have dessert flights or soup flights, French fry flights, salad flights. So I love to sample. And so that's a nice way to do it, is when you have a dining companion and you can snatch a little bite of whatever's on their plate.
Now, tell me about the Chicago Foodie Sisters. You and Becky, is that right?
Yes. Yeah, my younger sister Becky and I started that back in 2011. And we both like to eat, like to dine out. We kind of like to cook, but I think both of us really enjoy eating other people's cooking and trying out new restaurants. And so back in 2011, she had taken a gourmet cooking class and then decided to do a little dinner party at her house and make all of the dishes that she learned to make in her class. So when we were having that dinner party, we were chatting afterwards, and somewhere along the line, I think Becky just said, oh, we should start a blog. And I said, okay. And we kind of just started it as a hobby, not with any kind of plan or, not aiming to start it as a business. It was just kind of a hobby, just a way for us to share some of the good restaurants we liked and good meals we had and good recipes we had tried. So it started from there in 2011, and it's grown a bit over the years. We now have an online following of over 25,000 between our social media sites. And in the early days of the blog, I had little kids that I was busy with. My sister was single, no kids, working downtown. So she'd hit a lot of Chicago restaurants, and I'd kind of hit some of the places in the suburbs. And then later on, it got to be where my kids grew up, and I was traveling more and dining out more, and my sister has young kids, so not as much. And we live a little further apart now, so we don't do a lot of it together, but yeah, we still love going out to eat together and trying new places. And at any time the two of us get together, food is always the biggest topic.
Well, now you live in northwestern Indiana, Valparaiso. A lot of ethnic foods up there. I know I once went to a backyard barbecue with a Serbian American family in Etna, and we had grilled goat.
Oh,
that was pretty good.
Yeah, I've had that from a restaurant in Chicago, Girl and the Goat. I love trying out new ethnic restaurants. There's quite a few in the book, and always love trying new things, trying new recipes and new foods, things that I wouldn't would never think to pair together or combine together into a recipe. And I'm always love that surprise of trying something new. And especially I love when we go to dine and we get suggestions from the staff, things, and I get to try things that I probably would not have ordered on my own.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've written other books, including a children's book about a dog who's a picky eater. Tell me about that.
Right. Yeah. So I'm in, my first book was published in 2001. So I've been at it for a while. This is my ninth book. Three history books, and I've done four books for children now. And one of them is called Waffle Likes Falafel. And so it's a story about a dog who's a picky eater. He doesn't want to try anything. Finally, one day somebody offers him falafel and it rhymes with his name, and he thinks, oh, okay, I'll try that. And he gives it a try and then decides that he likes it and thinks, oh, what else have I been missing? And then he just decides to be more adventurous from there and try new things. So was kind of written with my sister Becky's kids in mind, because despite their mom being a big foodie, they are not very adventurous eaters. And I think both of our kids, you could probably count on one or two hands the number of foods they'll eat. They're pretty picky. So I kind of wrote that book with them in mind, used my dog Waffle as the character, who, by the way, is not a picky eater. He would eat anything. But yeah, so wrote the story with them in mind, and just a story about how, things you miss out on when you're afraid to try them. And then just that lesson of, when you're not afraid to try something, you discover wonderful things.
My guest is Carrie Steinwick. She's the author of Unique Eats and Eateries of Indiana. Coming up, we're going to check out other recommended eateries in the Hoosier State, including a stop at the Schnitzelbank in Jasper, Santa's Candy Castle, and the Nashville House, all in southern Indiana. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. My guest is Carrie Steinwig, author of Unique Eats and Eateries of Indiana, The People and Stories Behind the Food. Now, the cover of the book features a storefront with different scenes in the window panes. Tell me about that cover, Carrie.
Okay, so the cover, I didn't select the photos that are on that page. The designers kind of picked out some from all of the photos that I had submitted for the book. But I love the ones that they chose. And a handful of the images in the book are historic photos, like this black and white one you see on the cover. And most of the rest of them were taken by me on my visits to the restaurant. But this top photo here, there's an old black and white photo. And this is a restaurant called Fort Wayne's Famous Coney Island. And if you walked into that restaurant today, it's going to look almost exactly like that photo, which I love. It's a place that has barely changed over the years, other than, the outfits the guys are wearing, the prices on the menu. The rest of it is pretty much the same. It's a place that was started by a Macedonian immigrant in the early 1900s. It's over 100 years old. And it's one of those places where they do one thing and do it well. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a huge menu. They do the Coney dogs. They have the hot dogs with a separate Coney sauce that they put on that has no beans. So you can order baked beans as a side if you like beans in your chili and mix those together. And then they do hamburgers. And that's pretty much the whole menu. You can throw in some chips, and it's pretty much mandatory that you buy a glass bottle of Coca-Cola to go with it. That's the way they've been doing it since the beginning, and it's just not the same unless you sit down and enjoy those Coney dogs with a frosty glass bottle of Coca-Cola. Almost any time you go in there, you're going to see multiple generations, there are people bringing their kids or their grandkids to this place that they enjoyed, many years ago. And a really cool feature too is if you walk by the front, the glass windows, they have the grill set up right in front of the window. So as you walk by, you can see them flipping the burgers and the hot dogs right on the griddle in front of you as you walk by.
You also have a photo of a bunch of looks like cooks in the kitchen there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's from a place called Joseph DeQuise, and that's in Roanoke, Indiana. And really neat, unique thing about this place is that they raise their own Wagyu beef, and it's the only place that they're aware of in the country that raises Wagyu beef exclusively for their customers. So other farms in the U.S. Raise it to sell to other restaurants, businesses, but this place raises it exclusively for their own customers. So it's a really charming downtown. It's also in a very unique historic building that was a former bank, around a century old. And the backstory is also really neat to this one because it's the owners are a couple from New York, and she was an actress. He was a baseball player in the Yankees organization, and then an injury put an end to his playing career. And then he went into sports insurance. And so he, from there, had a company insuring athletes and entertainers. And his business ended up in Roanoke, Indiana, where there just were not good places for him to take clients to when they would come come into town for meetings. So he decided he needed a nice upscale restaurant to take his clients to. And since there wasn't one there, they decided they would open their own restaurant. At first, it was in this former bank building, and it was just a private private dining space. So it was just for him to take his clients to. And eventually, they opened it to the public, and they've expanded since then. They own a couple connecting buildings and have expanded the restaurant. So it's that one that is just, it's unique in so many ways. The backstory, the building, the farm to table aspect. They also have a farm down the road where they not only raise the Wagyu beef, but grow a lot of the vegetables that are on your plate when you dine there. And so that one's a true gem, and another little small town place where if you're looking for a place to go for a special occasion, I definitely recommend that one. They have a bed and breakfast as well nearby, so you can make a weekend of it. And definitely high on my list of recommendations.
Okay, let's go back to Southern Indiana. Now, in Jasper, you can find, a sample of Bavarian dishes at the Schnitzel Bank. What did you eat there?
What didn't we eat there? That was one where I might have tried most of the menu because I got a huge German sample platter. So it came with 8 different meats and 5 sides. And so I did get to try quite a bit. It's nice. They also have a buffet there too. So there's, if you like to try a lot of different things, you can do that. But this one I was really excited to experience because my father-in-law grew up in Berlin. He was from Germany and immigrated here when he was a teenager. And so when my husband and I started dating, he introduced me to German food. So my mother-in-law would make a couple German dishes once in a while, but we loved going out to a couple different German restaurants in the Chicago area and was introduced to Wiener Schnitzel and Rouladen and Hasenpfeffer and all these German dishes and fell in love with German food. So in the book, there's 3 different German places that are included in the book, and they're all just such a great representation of German cuisine and the culture, just with all the decor, the outfits of the servers. It's just such a fun experience.
It is. Now, just down the road from Jasper, we arrive in Santa Claus, Indiana, home of Holiday World, and we visit Santa's Candy Castle. Tell me about the Candy Castle.
Yeah, so I discovered this one a few years back when my kids were a little younger, and we took a family vacation there in the summer. For several years, we went there each summer to Santa Claus. My kids loved it. And when Santa's Candy Castle opened up, we stopped there with the kids, and it's got just all the nostalgia candies that you remember from childhood. So any candy that you probably loved growing up, you'll find in there. They have several rooms stocked with nostalgic candies. They have a counter where they have popcorn fudge. But my favorite thing there is not a candy, it's a beverage, and it's called the frozen hot chocolate. And so especially during the summer day when you've been at the amusement park and it's hot and humid and you need something to cool you off, that frozen hot chocolate just hits the spot. And I've tried to find a place to duplicate it. I've been to coffee shops where I say, "Can you make me one of these?" And they'll try, and it's just never the same. But yeah, that's a favorite there. And they also do some food challenges at this spot. So that one of the times we were there, we walked in to find a guy sitting in the corner with a huge bowl of flaming hot popcorn and a gallon of the frozen hot chocolate, and I think he had an hour to eat it all.
God.
And so they've got a few people who have passed that challenge, and they have their pictures up there.
Okay. Now we got two other great restaurants in southern Indiana, both in Brown County, the Nashville House and the Story Inn.
Yeah, those are I love Brown County. I was there for the first time just a few years ago, and the downtown is just so cute and quaint, and the Nashville House is one you have to hit when you're there. It's in the county's first hotel, which was built in 1859, and so there's a neat history there. It's one of those places where you're going to get just those great comfort meals, and they have outdoor seating. Just one of those, it's like a big hug, you know.
Now
Like a big
this,
hug from grandma when you sit down to eat there. It's
yeah.
just one of those ones that'll have your heart. And the other one you mentioned was the Story Inn, and that one is a really unusual one because it's in an old inn and general store that dates all the way back to 1851.
And it's off the beaten path.
Oh, it's way off the beaten path. I mean, it was a bustling town way back in the 1800s. And then in around 1960, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers flooded some of the nearby land to create Lake Monroe. And that cut off direct access to Bloomington. And then some of the wooded area around there became part of Brown County State Park. So now the little town of Story is surrounded by public land on three sides. So there's only one road going in and out. So it is way off the beaten path.
Let's go back to the Steinwig home in Valparaiso. What is your some of your favorite dishes to cook?
Some of my favorite dishes to cook. Oh gosh. I really like making soups. That's kind of my thing. So I'm in my element now. We got the chilly weather, and I've been a couple times a week at least. I'm making like some chicken noodle soup or vegetable beef soup. I made some chicken gnocchi the other day, some chili, some corn chowder. So yeah, that's kind of my thing is soups. And then what did I made some lasagna the other day. Some of those classic comfort foods that my mom used to make. I enjoy cooking as well. I'm not a big baker, but I like the soups and the comfort food.
Now
If I
you also manage a farmer's market. Tell me about that.
Oh yeah. Let's see it. We wrapped up our third I wrapped up my third season as market manager in October, and it's the Valparaiso Market. So it's in downtown Valparaiso at Central Park Plaza, and it's a neat little park that's located right downtown, a block away from the courthouse. It's got a stage where they have entertainment throughout the summer and a park area, and then next to it is a pavilion. That's covered, that right now is an ice rink, but during the summer, it's where we have the Valparaiso Market. as well as the street in between the park and the pavilion is closed off for the market and filled in with vendors. So yeah, I really, really love that job. Once we moved here early 2022 and was just, you know, at home during the winter. I do a lot of my work at home. And after a couple months, I was like, I need to get out more, meet more people in my new town. I was just spending so much time at home. So I noticed they had this opening for Valparaiso Market, and it just seemed like a perfect fit with my love of food and farmers and how I love to support small businesses and shopping small. And so, yeah, it was just a perfect fit for me. We have several farmers that are local that bring, you know, produce that's picked that morning in Northwest Indiana, a little bit from Southwest Michigan too, produce. We have some farmers that do lamb and beef and pork and chicken, and then various artisans and bakers and food vendors. So yeah, it's a good time. It's a great market, and it's twice a week. So it's been Tuesdays and Saturdays from 9 to 1. From first weekend in June through mid-October.
All right, check it out. Now, you talk about some iconic Hoosier foods that people, I'm sure, know about. The sugar cream pie from Wick's. My wife's from the Richmond area, so she's very familiar with the Winchester cream pies. Those are delicious.
They are, yeah. And it's funny, in Northwest Indiana, a lot of people around here just don't. I think you have to get a little further out in the state for the cream pie and the pork tenderloin. I mention it to people around here, sugar cream pie, and they have no clue what I'm talking about.
Really?
But you get a little further south in the state, and it's everywhere. Every menu has sugar cream pie as a dessert.
And you mentioned the breaded tenderloin sandwich. Some of those are huge.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's just the characteristic of a typical Indiana fried pork tenderloin or breaded pork tenderloin is that it's smashed so thin and fried, and it just overflows the bun. Sure. And one of my favorite places to get it is One-Eyed Jack in Winnemac, One-Eyed Jack's in Winnemac, where it's so large, it just overflows the bun and fills the plate. And my husband and I went there and we ordered one, and we ordered the one that came with two buns, and it was still spilling out over two buns. We split it and we still took home leftovers. So usually when you get those, it's going to be a huge, very hearty portion.
Now, my wife, Susan, she loves these tea room restaurants, and you mentioned the Merrillville Tea Room, which is connected to a flower shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my very favorite places in Northwest Indiana. It's a floral shop. So when you enter, you're entering through the floral shop and the gift shop. And then you go through to the tea room, and it's actually more than one room. It's several adjoining rooms. So each one is decorated differently, and there's a lot of different nooks with little tables, and it's just an adorable spot. And a few years ago, there was a restaurant in Gary called Captain's House, and had really good seafood and different dishes there that the owner of Captain's House also owned the Merrillville Tea Room. So the Captain's House has since closed, and Merrillville Tea Room has been sold to a new owner. But some of these recipes are carried on that you used to be able to get at the Captain's House. And they have one called the Kingfisher. That's one of their signature items. And it's wild-caught salmon that's rolled in phyllo dough. Very tasty. And they also have a Chateau Earl Grey, which is kind of like a pot pie without the crust. But real good chicken flavor, and everything is adorned with fresh flowers. So anything you order there, you know, with the floral shop being right there, it's just beautiful presentations because there's fresh flowers on every plate. So it's a great spot for like a mother-daughter outing or a shower or, you know, just a girl's day.
Let's talk about some of your favorite items on the menu. What's your go-to appetizer? Or do you have one?
Oh, gosh. I love burrata. So anytime I see that on the menu, I usually order that. I love stuffed mushrooms. I love a good shrimp cocktail, freschetta. Yeah, I've got a lot of go-tos.
What about entree?
Entree? Well, it depends on where I'm at.
Sure.
If I'm going to one of those German places that I mentioned that I like, I just love a simple Wiener Schnitzel. You can get all these other varieties, the Jaeger Schnitzel and different sauces and things on top, cheeses, mushrooms. I just like the basic Wiener Schnitzel, and I just squeeze lemon all over it, and I love that with a little bit of fried potato or spätzle. Yeah, I love a good steak. I love chicken piccata is definitely one of my favorites, and also carbonara. So I love going to an Italian spot where those are on the menu.
Well, I was going to ask you about, I'm a big spaghetti carbonara fan. And where would you recommend that dish? Where could I get a good dish of that?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember if they specifically had carbonara. A lot of Italian restaurants, though, they have things that are similar. And if you ask, the chef will often make it for you. So I've found that a lot. If I go to an Italian spot and I don't see carbonara on the menu, I'll say, do you think they can make that? Or chicken piccata, because they'll have chicken limone and, you know, it's very similar. So a lot of times they'll alter it for me. But a great example of old school Italian is in Michigan City, and it's called Farina's Supper Club. And that's one that's included in the book. It's in the old Duneland Beach Inn. So it's a historic building that was once used for beachgoers and vacationers who would come to the dunes. And so it's in a quiet little residential area. Mm-hmm. And the couple that owns it are the Farinas, who had a few different restaurants over the years in Chicago and the suburban area. But Chef Joe specializes in these hearty Italian dishes and has a wealth of experience in the restaurant industry. And his wife, Yvonne, runs the restaurants with him, and just all of those classic dishes that that you love. You could get some great spaghetti there and meatballs. I had gotten some kind of combo dish when I was there, so I got to try a few different things. I never know if I'm saying, is it bracciola, where it's a breaded steak that's rolled? That one there is really good. The old neighborhood platter, that's what it was called, that I tried there. So it has just a sampling of great Italian dishes. And one other, you were asking about appetizers. One other thing they have there that's really good is, it's a herb breaded eggplant with plum tomatoes, fresh mozzarella, and then they drizzle it in balsamic, and it's amazing, as well as their scallops. Scallops are another favorite dish of mine, and I remember they had wonderful scallops there.
Okay, I'm hungry. What about dessert? Are you a cake, pie, or pudding, or what do you like?
Oh, gosh. I'm not a huge dessert person. If I'm going to have dessert, I really love a good tiramisu.
Oh, yeah.
Or a creme brulee. And that, going back to the sugar cream pie, somebody had once described it to me as creme brulee with a crust. And I think that's a pretty good description. And I love creme brulee. So I'm a fan of the sugar cream pie. But so those are favorites. And then I am a chocoholic. So if there's chocolate as an option, I love a flourless chocolate cake or a big turtle cheesecake.
What about a cocktail? Do you have cocktails? Do you like
beverage? I love anything with lavender. And I love pretty cocktails. So if I know it's going to be purple or blue, I'll order that just because it's so pretty. But I love anything like lavender with elderberry syrup, things like that.
Yeah. Now, growing up, were there good cooks in your family?
My mom was a good cook. She was, my parents were from Central Illinois. I, which is not that far south, but for some reason they always, my mom kind of had a little bit of a southern accent and kind of made all these southern type dishes, and I don't know where that came from with them being from central Illinois, but like the chick, she made amazing chicken and dumplings, and so that was a favorite. And yeah, I also loved her meatloaf. I still make my meatloaf the same way she did. She made really great salmon patties. Yeah, so those were some of the favorites. But she was a very good cook, and so learned a few things from her.
Now, coming up, we're going to check out some more eateries to explore with my guest, Carrie Steinwig, including a baker famous for his hot yeast twisted donuts, also a diner featured on the Food Network's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and a charming cafe where you can order Aunt Bee's fried chicken. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street. There's much more on the menu. Stay with us. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. If you are just joining us, my guest is Carrie Steinwig. She's the author of Unique Eats and Eateries of Indiana, The People and Stories Behind the Food. There are some 80 restaurants featured in the book, and the index breaks them down to areas of the state. There are also addresses and numbers to call for reservations. So, Carrie, you attended a lot of book signings already. So, what's been the reaction to the book so far? Do people want recipes and recommendations?
Yeah, everybody's always asking for my favorite, and that's just too hard to do. I always say, you know what, you could ask, if you ask me today, I'll give you a favorite, and tomorrow when I'm hungry for something else, it'll be a different favorite. So there's too many to choose just one, and these are all favorites. That's why they're in the book. So yeah, but that's, people always want to know a favorite, and then they want to share their favorites with me too. So that's kind of nice. I've learned about a few new spots doing
Sure.
these book signings that I didn't know about, that I've added on my list of places I'd like to visit. So
Okay, let's take everybody back on the road now. So where would you go to enjoy hot yeast twisted donuts in a bakery founded in 1955? That's mentioned in your book.
Yeah, so you would head to Indianapolis, and so a friend of mine that I went to grade school with, I moved here to Valparaiso and found out she lives a block away from me. And I asked her for some suggestions of good places to eat in Indiana, and her daughter went to school in Indianapolis, and she said, "You have got to go to Long's Bakery." So I put that on my list, and next time I was in Indy, we made our way over to Long's Bakery, and it's one of those just nostalgic, classic bakeries where you can smell it before you even walk in the door, the donuts and the cakes, and it's just heaven. As soon as you walk in there and you see the case with all the goodies there, and their big signature thing there is called hot yeast, and so that's kind of a glazed twist. So I think maybe like a Krispy Kreme, but way better. And it's twisted, and you get it right out of the oven, and it's just melts in your mouth.
Well, it
So,
sounds like it.
and one other thing that they have there that I loved, it's called the Marianne. I've never seen anything like it any other place. It's kind of like, you remember the ding dong snack cakes? So it's kind of like a homemade ding dong on the bottom, and then a like a marshmallow meringue on top, and the whole thing is covered in chocolate. So I tried that there and instantly fell in love with that. But any kind of sweets that you could imagine, they have there, and it's all made fresh throughout the day, and just a great nostalgic spot. It's still in the same family. The people running it now are the great granddaughter of Carl Long, who founded the business in 1955. So it's his granddaughter and her husband. So I met with Robbie Smith, her husband, when I was there, and he was great, and just showed me through the case, and just has such a passion for the business, and that's great to see.
Another spot in Indianapolis, iconic St. Elmo's. That's a gathering spot for celebrities and lawmakers, and that spicy shrimp cocktail sauce.
Yeah, I put St. Elmo's first one in the book because to me that's the most iconic restaurant in the state, as far as I'm concerned. It's known for their shrimp cocktail. So there's two items on the menu that have been on the menu since day one, since they opened in 1902. One is the navy bean soup, which kind of goes along with St. Elmo being the patron saint of sailors. So the navy bean soup kind of went along with that theme. And then, of course, their world famous shrimp cocktail. If you know anything about St. Elmo, you know that that's their signature item, and it's one that will clear your sinuses for sure.
Yeah, there's some horseradish in that.
Right. It's fresh horseradish that they use daily, added in. And it just packs a punch, but it's one of those, it's such a good burn. Like, I will dig in, take a bite, and initially you just are like, it just takes your breath away. But then after you let it settle for a minute, and then you're like, gosh, that was good. I need another one.
Now, in West Lafayette, there's a diner that has its own root beer brand and has been featured on the Food Network. Tell me about that place.
Right. That's the Triple X Family Restaurant. It's in West Lafayette, not far from the university. And so they have a few menu items that are, they just have some cute, clever names and different favorites of athletes and coaches from the university. So the menu is very influenced by that. Some of the favorites that have been named for athletes and faculty at the university, and they do have their own root beer there. And way back, you know, a century ago or more, there were about 100 Triple X thirst stations around the country and in Canada. And there were more than 150 bottlers producing the root beer. All of those have closed over the years, except for this location, and it's now the only remaining Triple X Family Restaurant location, and it's the only one bottling and serving this root beer brand, which goes way back. And if you stop in there, you gotta get some of that root beer, and if you get it there on draft too, it's just so good and foamy, and you know, have that alongside a nice juicy burger. It's all, I mean, they get all their meats from a local butcher, and it's all hand formed, so everything's fresh, and just amazing. And that was visited by it was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Mm-hmm. So kind of has gotten a lot of attention from being on that show, and also being named like one of the top 50 best burgers by USA Today and other publications.
Now, finally, let's check out this cafe that you say will transport diners to the fictional town of Mayberry, where you can order Aunt Bee's fried chicken. That sounds good.
Oh yeah. I'm a big fan of the Andy Griffith Show. And there used to be a festival called Mayberry in the Midwest, and it was in Danville, Indiana. And a few years ago, we had gone to that festival. The festival, I don't think has returned since after COVID, but right on the square in Danville, Indiana, is this adorable restaurant called the Mayberry Cafe. And you walk in, and there's TVs placed around the dining room, and they're all playing the Andy Griffith Show. So you can sit and dine and watch old black and white episodes of, you know, Andy and Barney and their shenanigans, while you have, you know, some great comfort food. And Aunt Bee's fried chicken is one of the big things on the menu. That's something you got to try. It's, you know, just classic fried chicken, Aunt Bee approved, and a series of different sides that you can add to it. Definitely recommend the mashed potatoes with it. And then they have all that other good comfort food, the, you know, roast beef and meatloaf and lots of pies. So, you know, just such a cute nostalgic spot. And anybody who likes the Andy Griffith Show, you know, that theme is just carried throughout. And they have an old replica of the sheriff's car that's parked outside too, which is another cute touch.
Of course. So what's next for food traveler Carrie Steinwick? What's on your menu?
Oh, God. Well, I'm going to be actually this weekend. I'm going to be down in Indianapolis. They have a big holiday author fair at the Indiana Historical Society. So I'll be there with about 60 other authors signing books. So since I was going to be there for that, I thought, oh, I need to hit up some places for some good food. And one place I'm planning to be when I'm there is Shapiro's Deli. I'm actually going to do a book signing the following day, and that place has the best corned beef sandwich, best Reuben you're going to find in the state. It's a historic, authentic Jewish deli, and everything, the meats are all hand sliced there. They have a on-site bakery, so not only are you getting real good quality meat, but it's on freshly baked bread that was just made there that day. And it's sliced by hand too, so it's not thin stuff sliced by a machine. It's a nice big chunk of hand sliced rye bread with the corned beef on top, and so I'm really looking forward to one of those this weekend.
So, Carrie Steinwig, what's for dinner tonight at your house?
What's for dinner tonight? I actually, after I'm done with this call, I'm going out. I still do different influencer things through our social media and different media events. And so there's a Dave's Hot Chicken opening in Orland Park, Illinois that I'm headed to after I hang up with you. So I'm going to go have some tenders and a hot Nashville hot chicken sandwich for dinner.
Carrie Steinwig, author of Unique Eats and Eateries in Indiana. Thanks for being my guest on 2 Main Street, and enjoy those leftovers.
Thank you so much. Have a
Thank
great
you.
day.
Are you hungry for more? Well, to continue this food adventure, go online to Chicago Foodie Sisters, where Carol and Becky post stories and reviews of other restaurants you may want to check out. I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. 2 Main Street airs Thursday at noon and Saturday at 11, and previous shows are online at wnin.org.